Lhasa. So we return once again to Padmasambhava's very simple instructions. This is pointing out instructions. Just observe your mind. As if it's that simple, and in a way, of course, it is. But I've mentioned, and I'll return to this analogy now, of looking right where Rigpa is, right where your own Buddha nature is, pristine awareness. And then the question can be asked, are you seeing it or not? Because you're looking right at it. But of course, we often look right at something. This happens to me, I'm sure other people. I'm looking for my keys, I'm looking right at them, I don't see them. Right? And my wife comes in. I often ask her to help, you know, when I'm looking for something, I often ask her to help me find it, because it happened. I'm looking right at it, don't see it, you know. And so, but there is not only keys, it's also the key to your soul. Looking at it but not seeing it, but maybe that's a bit harsh. Maybe you're looking at it and you just don't see it clearly, and that's where the metaphor of multiple layers of obscurations that we gradually dispel. On the one hand, just by sheer persistence, but on the other hand, by using skillful means. So I'd like to just now briefly highlight one really crucial thing that pervades, I think equally pervades all of these layers in different ways, all of these layers from your ordinary consciousness of the present. Remember? Ordinary consciousness of the present. Padmasambhava said that is Rigpa, all the way to the full, unveiled, non-mediated, non-conceptual realization of Rigpa. And the term is very simple in Tibetan. It's called Seltong. Seltong. So short, simple, and we have to use many more syllables. Clarity and emptiness. And you know, clarity means luminosity. And the non-duality of Seltong. Seltong Zongju, the union of luminosity and emptiness. So this is something that is not distant. It's something you're already familiar with, and you can ascertain in the very next session if you've not done so already. It's not hard. And that is, as we simply observe this ordinary consciousness, so we're not expecting something elevated, something, oh, maybe I'm not there yet. No, it's the one you already have right now. That you'll see, if you observe it carefully, that it is clear in the sense of being clear of any type of materiality, that is empty, devoid of any type of materiality, has no physical attributes whatsoever. And you can see that, right? And then the corroboration comes by the fact that still, with all of the incredible sophistication of modern technology, including in the cognitive sciences, there is no way of measuring, objectively measuring, consciousness. It has no physical attributes, so how can they possibly measure it? So there's two very compelling arrays of reasons or evidence to suggest that consciousness is clear in the sense of being immaterial. Oh, but now we have the other aspect of the other facet of the definition of consciousness. It's clear and it's cognizant, it's knowing. It's knowing, right? And you know that right now, you know that you're knowing. It's not a mystery. You know it, in fact, it may be, and I think it is, your most indubitable knowing. You cannot be persuaded by reasoning or evidence that you're not conscious. It's, you know, more firmly than anything else, or more indubitably and incontrovertibly. And so that knowing is itself a type of clarity or luminosity. And so we can say karasa, seshing rikpa. Clarity and cognizance as the two definitions, two defining characteristics of consciousness. The clarity here in this context can actually refer to the emptiness of materiality, because it is. And the cognizance can actually refer to the clarity, the luminosity of consciousness itself. The simple point being that as you are aware of being conscious right now, you can see that it's empty of materiality and it's filled with the light of knowing. Right? And that's already Seltong. So are you getting it? Because I'm not going to give away the plot. We're going to go from the beginning of the book to the end. But there it is, Seltong on page one, you know, and it's not difficult to ascertain, right? So we go there. Now let's keep on going. Let's look ahead. Let's imagine you've taken your mind onto the road and traveled the journey to Shamatha. You've taken the mind onto the path. You come to the culmination of the path. And you've dissolved your mind. It was kind of like a vehicle gets smaller and smaller until finally it's gone when you get to your destination. And that is your mind itself, your coarse mind, your psyche. And so now imagine that you're now just resting in subtle mind, subtle continuum of mental consciousness, also known as the Bhavanga and the substrate consciousness. And there, you've come to the fourth of four types of mindfulness that are gradually arise on this path of shamatha, the fourth one being self-illuminating mindfulness. And so that's where you've inverted your awareness in upon itself, and you come right into the very nucleus, the very nature of the luminosity of consciousness. You've come to its kind of its nucleus, right? So there's your luminosity. It's self-illuminating mindfulness. So that is the luminosity of the substrate consciousness, which illuminates all other appearances in samsara. But of course, your awareness, when you're just resting there in shamatha, your awareness is not that it's called substrate consciousness. It's called substrate consciousness, which means you are, when you're resting in the substrate consciousness, you are aware of the substrate. That's why it's called substrate consciousness. And so that substrate, well, that's sheer vacuity. That's space. And you're simultaneously and non-dually aware of the space, the emptiness of the substrate, while also being aware of the sheer luminosity of your own substrate consciousness. So one whole layer of obscuration of luminosity and emptiness has been unveiled. You're seeing it now. And it would be one of these things like, I thought I had it, but now I've really got it. On day one, when I started practicing awareness of awareness, I kind of got it, that it's empty of materiality and it's clear in the sense of knowing, clearly knowing. But now that I've achieved shamatha, whoa, now I see what those words mean. This is clarity, you know. It's kind of like, I know it's incredibly corny, but I like corny. Crocodile Dundini. No, Crocodile Dundee. Dundini, the Italian version, right? My finger. Crocodile Dundini. You call this, you think that's a knife? This is a knife. I enjoyed that. You think that's luminosity? This is luminosity. You thought that was emptiness? This is emptiness. You know, like, whoa, order of magnitude, deeper. But of course, you're not finished. Now you hop onto the wagon, you take Dhammata. You put Dhammata as your vehicle. You put Dhammata onto the path, right? That's the next stage, where you're exploring the nature of emptiness of your own mind and all other phenomena. And that's, imagine you just carry that right on through until you have a nice, let's say, an unmediated, why not? It's an unmediated, non-conceptual, non-dual realization of Dhammata, of Dhammadhatu, of Shunyata, emptiness. Now, as we will see starting this, well, soon, when we get back to Pinchen Rinpoche's text on the Vipassana and explaining the nature of emptiness, that in this tradition that he's explaining with great clarity, emptiness is a simple negation. It's a sheer absence, a simple absence of inherent existence, of anything, of everything, including of emptiness itself. Emptiness itself is empty of inherent nature. Otherwise, it would be a nihilistic extreme that would consume everything else. So let's imagine now that you've become you're a bodhisattva, so you're an Arya bodhisattva. You're having a non-conceptual, non-dual realization of emptiness, right? And that emptiness is sheer absence of inherent nature. That's what you're observing, right? Non-conceptually. Are you aware at the same time of anything else? Just imagine this, but yeah. And I can say your senses have completely imploded. The conceptual designation has gone totally flat. This is a completely, absolutely non-conceptual mode of meditative equipoise, in which you are resting in your unmediated realization of emptiness, right? As a sheer absence of inherent nature. Are you aware of anything else at that time? Yeah, you're still aware of being aware. You're still aware of being aware, right? It's built into any type of cognition. If I'm aware of Glenn, I'm also aware of being aware of Glenn, right? Now, that awareness with which you are aware of emptiness, is it affirmative or is it a negative, a negation?
Affirmative.
Affirmative, yeah. It has qualities. It's consciousness, for heaven's sake. It's not an absence of something. It's a presence of consciousness. Whether you're realizing it with a subtle continuum of mental consciousness, which it would be the bodhisattva path, the sutrayana path, but sure, it's absolutely affirmative. And so you are simultaneously experiencing the emptiness, which is emptiness, and the luminosity of your own awareness, and these are non-dual, seltong, non-duality of emptiness and luminosity. The object is sheer emptiness, but the subject with which you're apprehending that object is luminous. It's clear, bright, and there's a non-dual. They say that when you realize emptiness in that fashion, it's like pouring one glass of water into another glass of water, which means you simply cannot distinguish them anymore. It's like you've poured the glass of water of the luminosity of your awareness into the glass of water of emptiness, and now they're completely non-dual. Right? And I mean absolutely non-dual. No conceptual distinction whatsoever while you're resting in meditative equipoise. And so you call that luminosity, this is luminosity. You call that emptiness, that little piddling little emptiness of the substrate, that's a mere vacuity. This is emptiness. And now you see for the first time, oh, now I get it. Now I really get it. Right? But you're not finished yet. You're on the path of Dzogchen. So now you're going to take, on your path, you're going to take, put Rigpa onto the path. Rigpa is going to be your vehicle, right? Because you don't want to simply be an Arya Bodhisattva, merely. You want to become a Vidyadatta. You want to realize emptiness with the very subtle mind, right? As you do in the stage of completion practice, right? It's the same mind, according to His Holiness and others. This very subtle mind, this primordial mind of the primordial mind of clear light that you actualize, you manifest on stage of completion practice, and with which you realize emptiness, that is the same dimension of consciousness that is pointed out and which you realize in the Dzogchen, in bona fide Dzogchen practice. And so imagine then, you've cut through the conditioned consciousness. Now I'm speaking of Dzogchen, now it's Dzogchen context. Dzogchen context, the pointing out instructions are to cut through conditioned consciousness, which is within time. You're cutting through that, right, with your pointing out instructions. And very similar to being in a non-lucid dream, where you even in the non-lucid dream, you may be aware of the emptiness of inherent nature of all the phenomena in the dream, and still not know you're dreaming. You're simply aware, boy, everything is dreamlike. It's dreamlike. Nothing exists objectively from its own side. Nothing exists subjectively from its own side. All of these are mere empty appearances, and you may still not know you're dreaming. And then somebody comes along, Padmasambhava, and says, hey, this is a dream. And peh, and then, whoa, now you get it. And suddenly your axis has shifted. So you're not only realizing that all phenomena in the dream are empty of inherent nature, you're now viewing them from the perspective of being awake. Ah, that sounds like Buddha mind. You're lucid. Now you're lucidly apprehending, rather than non-lucidly apprehending, the emptiness of all phenomena within the dream. You are lucidly apprehending all phenomena within the dream. And of course, if you'd been lucid earlier, you would have already realized that they were empty. Because you can't be in a lucid dream and still think things are really out there. If you are, you're just not lucid. So now let's imagine you cut through the substrate consciousness, cut through the subtle mind, and now you are realizing Dharmadhatu, which is Dharmata, which is emptiness, which is Nirvana. You're realizing that not from the platform of a subtle mind, the conditioned mind, but rather from the perspective of Rigpa, primordial consciousness, Dharma, or Dharmakaya. Right? Well, the emptiness you are realizing is the same emptiness as before. There's no higher or lower, coarser or subtler emptiness. It is what it is, and that's already realized. But now, instead of realizing it with that subtle mind, which is conditioned, so there's an asymmetry there, the emptiness of which you are aware is unconditioned, uncaused, unborn, unceasing. But your consciousness of it, on that bodhisattva path, your consciousness, your realization of it, is with a subtle continuum of mind, which is conditioned, which is impermanent, which does arise from moment to moment. So there's an asymmetry there. The impermanent mind is realizing permanent, unborn, unceasing emptiness, right? But now you cut through that conditioned consciousness to Rigpa, which is in the fourth time, beyond the three times of past, present, and future, and beyond existence and non-existence, beyond all conceptual frameworks, and you're realizing emptiness from that luminosity. Well, this is the clear light mind. This is the primordial mind of clear light. This is the light of lights. This is the source of all light. This is that which illuminates all of samsara and nirvana. Right? And you say, you think that's luminosity? This is luminosity. The emptiness is the same. And of course it's non-dual. But the point here, it's primordially non-dual. That Dharmakaya didn't arise when you first realized it. It's the ground Dharmakaya, it's the path Dharmakaya, it's a fruitional Dharmakaya. The Dharmakaya is always there. Rigpa's always there. And it's always primordially non-dual from Dharmadhatu. And so there's the culmination of Sel Tong Zongjuk, the union of luminosity and emptiness. It's the luminosity of Rigpa and the emptiness of Dharmadhatu. And you're seeing that on the first day. Right? When you just say, oh, ordinary conscious is the present. Got it. Good. You're realizing Rigpa and Dharmadhatu maybe through three layers of clouds. Maybe. It's just how charitable you're feeling. Right? If you want to be tough, then give me a break. You're realizing the clarity and non-materiality of your ordinary, stupid, delusional, samsaric mind. That's what you're realizing, stupid. You want to be a bit tough, you know. That's true. You want to be more charitable, well, you've just taken the step, the first step in Dzogchen. And that's what Padmasambhava said, do that. So, there's the theme. It runs everywhere. You're going to see it everywhere. The non-duality of luminosity and emptiness. And everywhere means, like, for example, the Heart Sutra. Form is emptiness. Emptiness is form. What do you think that form is? Expression of luminosity, what else? And emptiness is emptiness. Form is emptiness, emptiness is form. Apart from form, there is no emptiness. Apart from emptiness, there is no form. Luminosity and emptiness, it's everywhere. Can't get away from it. The emptiness of Dharmakaya, the form of the Rupakaya. Luminosity, the displays of the Rupakaya, Sambhogakaya and Namanakaya, and the emptiness of Dharmakaya. It's everywhere. Everywhere you look. And the one who looks. It's all just union of luminosity and emptiness. Of course, I don't know what I'm talking about. But this sounds really good. I can talk the talk, can't I? I'm pretty good. Big faker. Hola, so let's sit and let's practice. Or lie down and practice. You want to lie down on the job, you can. Take a refuge in the ultimate refuge, which is none other than your own pristine awareness. And with the motivation of bodhicitta, aspire to fully realize and to manifest the nature and potentials of your own Buddha nature. upon the culmination of settling body, speech and mind and the natural states. Let your awareness rest right where it is. Staying home, resting in its own place. With your eyes gently open and awareness resting in the space in front of you, but without targeting any object, just at rest. And now we turn to the culminating phase of Padmasambhava's instructions, his pith instructions on the practice of shamatha without a sign, presented immediately before. His instructions are on engaging in the search for the mind. So upon resting your awareness right where it is, without an object, without doing anything, he gives this instruction. Now alternately, tightly concentrate your consciousness, wholly concentrating it without wavering. And then gently release it, evenly resting it in openness. Again concentrate and again release. In that way meditate with alternating constriction and release. At times, steadily direct your gaze up into the sky. Steadily focus your awareness with the desire to be without anything on which to meditate. So a commentary for clarification. We're not talking about your visual gaze, but the gaze of your mind. Focus your mental awareness directly above you, up into the sky, up into the space above you, as far as your awareness can reach, but without visualizing the sky, without visualizing your awareness, simply direct your awareness up into the space above you, but with no target, with no object to fixate upon. Just direct your awareness up into objectless openness above. relax again. Let your awareness simply come to rest effortlessly in its own place. Time steadily, unwaveringly, direct your awareness into the space on your right, out into space as far as your awareness can reach. Expand the space of your awareness. With no object, with no visualization. Relax again. Directed to the left. Out into the space to your left, as before. Relax. And at times directed downwards. Downwards into the open expanse of the space of the mind beneath you, as far as your awareness can reach, with no object. During each session, rotate the gaze or the focus of your awareness around in those directions. Occasionally inquire, what is that awareness of the one who is focusing the interest? And let the awareness itself steadily observe itself. At times, let your mind come to rest in the center of your heart and evenly leave it there. This implies letting the locus of your awareness descend right down into your heart chakra. As if you've stepped into an elevator and descend it downwards to the heart. And let your awareness rest there. Times evenly focus it in the expanse of the sky and leave it there. Just release your awareness into space and open expanse with no object and leave it there. Thus, by shifting the gaze in various alternating ways, the mind settles in its natural state. As indications of this, if awareness remains evenly, lucidly, and steadily wherever it is placed, shamatha has arisen. If awareness becomes muddled and without mindfulness, that is the problem of laxity or dimness, so clear it up, inspire it, and shift your gaze. If it becomes distracted and excited, it is important that you lower your gaze and release your awareness. If samadhi arises in which there is nothing of which you can say, this is meditation and this is conceptualization, this is the problem of oblivion. So meditate with alternating concentration and release, and recognize who is meditating. Recognize the flaws of shamatha and eliminate them right away. Flawless shamatha is like an oil lamp that is unmoved by the wind. Wherever the awareness is placed, it is unwaveringly present. Awareness is vividly clear without being sullied by laxity, lethargy, or dullness. Wherever the awareness is directed, it is steady and sharply pointed and unmoved by adventitious thoughts. It is straight. Thus a flawless meditative state arises in one's mind stream, and until this happens, it is important that the mind is settled in its natural state. Without genuine shamatha arising in one's mind stream, even if pristine awareness is pointed out, it may become nothing more than an object of intellectual understanding, and one is left simply giving lip service to the view. And there is the danger that one may succumb to dogmatism. Thus the root of all meditative states depends upon this. So do not be introduced to pristine awareness too soon. But practice until there occurs a fine experience of stillness. On Lhasa. So here, for those who are not in Tuscany with us right now, it's grey and rainy and a bit chilly out there. So outside there are obscurations. They're called clouds. But inside, oh-ho, luminosity and emptiness only. So that's all we have to do all day. Just rest in the non-dual experience of luminosity and emptiness. That's easy. Nothing more to do. That's it. Enjoy your day.